A blessed Lord's Day to all of you this morning. Thank you for joining us as we gather here to hear God's word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. A couple of things to announce. First of all, this evening at 6 p.m., we're going to be gathering the high school students for hopefully a bonfire. We'll see how the weather holds out, but we're trying to get a youth group organized, so the information where that's going to be taking place is in the bulletin, so please do read that. Let's see, there's a couple of other things coming up that you may want to read about in the bulletin as well. As we gather this morning, the red has nothing to do with Cornhuskers. So just so we get that clear, today we celebrate Reformation Sunday. That's closest to pieces to the church door at Wittenberg, which was kind of the beginning of the Reformation. We celebrate that, the recovery of the gospel, as we might say, this morning in our service. As we gather, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Ben. Peace be with you. 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 Peace be with you, Paul. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Lord, peace be with you.
Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ our head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Holy Zion,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful man.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord of hosts is with me, us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. There is a river whose stream shall make us he of God.
Take away our sin from us, O Lord. We beseech you that with pure minds we enter the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
In rage, the kingdoms were moved. The voice the earth melted. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God,
Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou holy art holy, thou holy art the Lord. Thou holy, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that by your word you have brought us out of the darkness of error into the light of your grace. Mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from all error and false doctrine, and grant that we may not become ungrateful and despise and persecute your word as your people did long ago, but receive it with all our heart, govern our lives according to it, and put all our trust in your grace. Through the merit of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation. 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Walk about Zion, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following.
Our second reading is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
This is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now or taken. Behold, evil foe, now means deadly woe, deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his with might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. The devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. We tremble not, we fear. Shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can numb us none. He's judged the deed is done. One little word can fail him. The word they still shall let remain. Give thanks have for.
Gracious God, Heavenly Father, these words which are prepared for your people be to the glory of Christ and for his name's sake. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable for Christ Jesus' sake.
Amen. I our life, good Spain, child and wife, though these all be gone, our the kingdom has remained.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it would be fair to say that the results of the Reformation movement are lost on us today. The fact that we hear everything spoken in our own language and not that of an academic language is a result of the Reformation. That we sing is a result of the Reformation. The fact that we receive the sacrament of the altar in both kinds, body and blood, is a result of the Reformation. That we hear the scripture readings and are able to go home and read them again in our own Bibles is a result of the Reformation. We do not appreciate these things because they have become familiar and commonplace to us. We have become blind to them and do not pay them much attention. But for those Christians of the medieval church era, these things were astonishing. That they heard for the first time in their own language the words of our Lord in the gospel texts. That they heard the words of institution being chanted at the Holy Supper. That they heard hymns sung that expressed and proclaimed their faith was an absolute wonder to them. We might ask, well, how did the church get in that place all those 500 years ago? And the answer is quite simple. Things had become buried under mountains of man-made abuses and rules and regulations.
Sin had taken hold in the form of power and riches and control. Life revolved around the things of the church, but everything in the church had fallen away from the Word of God, which is why our text this morning from the Gospel, appointed for this day, is a good reminder to us. The words of Jesus, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." These words, first spoken, of course, were to challenge the Jews of Jesus' day. The Jews, like the church at the time of Luther, had lost all focus on the promises of God. For them, their standing before God had everything to do with their lineage and their works righteousness. This was also an issue at the time of Luther in 1517 and beyond. So whatever else we may say or be said, what may be said about the result of nailing the 95 theses to the church at the castle door of Wittenberg, one thing stands above all others. The thing that has come as a result of the Reformation is the truth of God. And the truth of God is simply this: God forgives sins. Not because of your bloodlines, not because of Martin Luther, not because of your hard work, but because God forgives sins because of Christ. At the time of the Reformation, this was as radical as it was simple. The forgiveness of God is simply free. It cannot be earned. Try as we might to present ourselves as worthy before God, try as we might to hide behind our piety or our lineage or our good works, when it comes to forgiveness, God isn't charging for it. He's giving it away. So Luther didn't rewrite Scripture, and what he discovered wasn't something new, or it wasn't something different for the church. Rather, it was something that the historic church had always taught. For the church of Luther's time, forgiveness had come to the point where it had to be earned through the observance of human laws, or it simply could be purchased with a cash price. No one of the time could be certain of going to heaven or having salvation. People were left to wonder if they had prayed hard enough, if they had prayed long enough or loud enough. Parishioners were left to wonder about their dead relatives, perhaps anguishing in the fires of hell. And so it was at that time that candles were lit, indulgences were purchased, money went into the plate, all in the effort to make one self-deserving of divine merit and be freed from the slavery of sin. So again, we might ask, how was it that the church of this time had lost track of the truth? How was it that the Jews of Jesus' time had lost track of the truth? They had stopped abiding in the Word of God. They had turned it aside for other man-made laws and regulations. So we must take heed and think for ourselves, how is it that we make sure that we do not lose track of the truth of God's Word? Because again, as Jesus says, if you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We do not lose track of the truth of God's word by abiding in that word. And so we need to put the word of God back to its proper place in our lives. We need to repent of our slothfulness when it comes to keeping God's word central. We do as Jesus calls us to do. We abide in his word. It is vital that we avail ourselves to every opportunity, lest our faith be slowly strangled to death. because that's exactly what sin does. And it is the gospel of God to proclaim that Christ, the flesh and blood of God, has come to set you free from that sin. On the cross of Calvary, in the bloody death of Jesus, the payment for your sin was made. It was for you, and it is for the whole world. Jesus said it this way, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And so this is the call of the church, telling the truth about the situation that we are in, and then pointing to the solution, pointing you not to yourself and not to your efforts and not to your doing, but pointing you to outside of yourself, away from yourself, to Jesus Christ. For if you are to be free, Jesus is the only one who can set you free. Free from slavery to sin. Free from fear of death. Free from the bond of the grave. Free to live as the child of God you are. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so the gospel is not about doing, but receiving. Receiving this work of Jesus as a gift. Baptism is the Son setting you free, washing you clean from your sin, breaking those bonds you were born with, and raising you in Jesus' resurrection to a new life. And it's here for you. Absolution is the Son setting you free, proclaiming and promising to you the forgiveness Jesus earned for you in his death and resurrection, and beating back the enemy seeking to enslave you again. And it is here for you. And the supper is the Son setting you free, feeding you with the medicine of immortality, the body and blood that died and rose and cannot die again, given to you that though you die, you too live forever. And it's here for you. Here is life and freedom for you. That is what abiding in the Word of God is all about. Yes, you are a sinner, but you have a Savior. And your Savior's forgiveness changes everything. His death and resurrection changes everything. And this Savior that you hear in your ears and see with your eyes and taste with your mouth is strong and it is powerful. And thanks be to God, we can hear these things in our own language, in our own day, and in our own time. Because Jesus does still continue to transform sinful beggars like you and me into his dear children. And this is truly freedom. This is the freedom that matters. Because as Jesus says, the slave does not remain in the house forever, the Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And indeed, because of Christ and because of the forgiveness that he offers to you and gives to you, you are free because your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this, our offering, that here in this place we may continue to proclaim the forgiveness of sins and the freedom that is found in Christ, having been set free from sin and brought to the eternal life in Jesus. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sin, but as you know and love us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant your church wisdom and charity through your Holy Spirit, that your word may not be bound but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy name. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, preserve and defend your holy church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Grant to those members of your holy body true humility in their service to you. Strengthen all members through the word and holy sacraments, that they may be faithful and fervent in their confession. Grant to pastors and leaders of your church wisdom and heavenly grace to bear their offices with integrity, that by their faithful ministry, your church may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, grant to our nation a spirit of peace and justice. Bless the leaders of our land, especially the President and Congress of these United States, the governor and the legislature of this state of Nebraska, our mayor and community leaders, that their service may be carried out in a way that brings peace among ourselves and is a blessing to other nations of the earth. Guide them all in their responsibilities, that they may be wise in their decisions and beneficial to the welfare of our country, our state, and our community. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, stretch forth your mighty arm to strengthen and protect those who protect, defend, and serve us. We remember our police and emergency workers. So also, we remember those who serve in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. We pray that all would serve with honor and integrity, and that they be kept safe from evil, and that no harm nor danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of human life. Look favorably upon all expectant mothers, especially Carissa, Brittany, and Cheyenne, that they and all who are expecting would grant that that throughout the time of their pregnancy, that mother and child may be kept safe from harm and danger, and that you may be glorified in the giving of life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, our time is in your hands. Look with favor upon those who celebrate birthdays this week. We remember Elaine and Sue. Strengthen their trust in your goodness and bless them with your abiding love all the days of their life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, look with mercy upon those who are increasing in years and who are homebound and shut in. We especially remember Eldine, June, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, Fenil, and Lois. Grant them hearts to accept help and increase their faith with the constant assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. So also we pray that by your word and Holy Spirit, that you would comfort all of those who were in sorrow, those who are in need, those who are sick or facing adversity. We especially remember those who have asked for our prayers. Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Hannah, Karen, Harvey, Lana, April, Margaret, Kathy, Lori, Gloria, and Mark. These and all whom we name in our hearts this day, we pray that you would be their comfort and strength, that you would relieve them of their pain, that you would guard them from all danger, and that you would restore them to health according to your good and gracious will. But most certainly we pray that you would grant to them peace in their suffering and a hope in eternal life in you. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, here in this place you open the gate of heaven, for according to Christ's words, your Son is bodily present with us in the sacrament of this altar. Bring us in repentance and faith to eat and drink worthily at his supper this day, that through its forgiveness and healing, that we put off the old self and be renewed in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, we pray that you would grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.